So a strange title for a sermon. It's called, What Do You Need to Lose? What do you need to lose on the 14th of May 2023? Starting with a reading from Ephesians 4, 17 to 32. Paul speaking to the Ephesian church. So I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. You, however, did not come to know Christ that way. Surely you heard of him and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which has been corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. So what do you need to lose today? Most people don't spend a lot of time thinking about things that they should give away. More often than not, the human nature is focused on what more can I get, not give away, or do without, or get rid of. Occasionally people do consider getting rid of a few pounds here and there, but like me, if it's losing a few pounds of fat from around their waistline, that's probably something that they'll never get round to. Now, there were, not too long ago, a few programs on television about people who were terrible hoarders. Did you ever see any of those programs? These people were sat in what looked like a landfill site. I mean, to the point where that they would absolutely keep everything that came into their home. A kind of a phobia, I think it was. From empty cans to cardboard to newspapers to broken toys, radios, TVs, tables, and just about anything that you could think of. In fact, their houses looked like, if you've ever seen it, that old co-op shop in Horncastle, the so-called antique shop, that is filled inside and outside with house clearance items. Old crockery, clothes, second-hand clothes, broken guitars, tape recorders, reel-to-reel recorders from way, way back in time, pictures, memorability from decades, if not centuries ago. You could almost feel the bygone emotions of people who bought cups with pictures of Queen Elizabeth at her coronation. There were pictures of Prince Charles and Lady Diana Spencer. They brought back memories from the 80s for me. and all the sadness that followed the breakdown of their marriage. Stuff, and more stuff piled up on top of each other. And they were all part of someone's life on this earth. Now, depending on your point of view, it's either very entertaining to see all this clutter piled up to the ceilings, almost toppling over, in a way that leaves you a narrow and somewhat precarious single winding track to follow through what could easily be described as a maze of human rubble, reflecting any number of memories and effects from the lives of countless people, both old and young, rich and poor, happy and sad. Rusty tools previously held by husbands and fathers and maybe grandfathers, cracked crockery that their wives can still remember the occasion, maybe even the date when they got broken, and of course, who broke them. The sad thoughts that occasionally went through my mind when I waded through all those things was that the occasion when someone calls in a firm to do a house clearance is often due to death or ill health. The end of an era for so many people. And some of the things they held as precious end up in a den of curiosities gathering dust for people to moose through and fumble around with and show some kind of passing interest. Or even they could be out in the rain, fading in the sunlight. Now, I'm quite understanding of people who find it very difficult to know what they should keep and what they should throw away. I tend, it's in my nature, to want to keep things just in case. Just in case. As you never quite know when that might come in handy. A long screw and a short screw. A domed head screw and a countersunk screw. Nails of different types, qualities, copper nails, aluminium nails, all these sort of things. Don't throw them away, because one day they might be useful. The problem with that is you tend to forget where you put them. So you know you've got them, but you're not quite sure where they are. So you could spend half an hour trying to find something that you never actually find. Now, we as a family, Noel and I, have just spent a few days trying to downsize the amount of paperwork that I have in our office. Let me tell you now, that was not my idea. Even though I've known for years that it would eventually need doing. It's inevitable, isn't it, when you think about it? No, it was my wife who showed the initiative, and even though I didn't want to face the unpleasantness of sifting through tons of invoices, tenancy agreements, receipts, instruction manuals for things that we no longer have, I found a certain satisfaction from just getting rid of things that were still in the back of my mind somewhere, as clutter, in a way. And they weren't doing me any good. But perhaps cluttering not only the filing cabinet and the rest of the office, but my mind. Making it like a computer that is running out of memory. Comes a point where you cannot keep on stuffing things into a computer and expect it to keep running well. It just slows down. So where do you start then? That's a good question. Well, if it was left to me and my initiative, I'd always start tomorrow. But if you decide that you have to start today, then start with the easier stuff first. Because once you've made a start, it's easier to carry on. So let's consider receipts and, say, tenancy agreements, inventories and condition certificates, things like that. Kilos of paper and staples and ink. And for me, this all started around 2003, which is, as you know, 20 years ago. The evidence. If you don't do anything about it, you can store things up all your life. Just keep storing stuff up. Now, let me tell you that some of those items that I had to consider throwing out brought back some terrible memories. Memories of tenants in particular that even now owe me money. Not just that, but the emotions and the sleepless nights, anxiety, pain, anger, the indecision and the temptation to get back at them somehow. All kinds of thoughts and feelings came to the surface as I agreed to peruse through these files and documents. Records of wrongs, both directed at me and perhaps also directed through or at other people. And it also made me face the music, so to speak, to see how and if I have changed over 20 years. And maybe where I still need to change. Check in on my motives then, and how they have changed over the past 2 decades, right up until today. It's been a long learning curve, often with pain, but also with a reward proportional to the amount of honest, hard graft that I've consistently put in over those years. After using a lot of common sense and rational thinking, we've managed to cut down the amount of unnecessary and out-of-date paperwork, and hopefully the memories that are linked to it. The older I get, the more my mind reflects on Paul's advice to the church in Thessalonica. 1 Thessalonians 4, 3-12 says, "It is God's will that you should be sanctified, set apart, that you should avoid sexual immorality, that each of you should learn to control his own body in a way that is holy and honorable, not in passionate lust like the heathen who do not know God, and that in this matter no one should wrong his brother or take advantage of him. The Lord will punish men for all such sins, as we have already told you and warned you. For God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. Therefore, he who rejects this instruction does not reject man, but God, who gives you his Holy Spirit. Now, about brotherly love, we do not need to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love each other. And in fact, you do love all the brothers throughout Macedonia. Yet we urge you, brothers, to do so more and more. Make it your ambition to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your hands, just as we told you, so that your daily life may win the respect of outsiders, and so that you will not be dependent on anybody." Now, the older I get, the more, quote, "make it your ambition to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your hands," sounds like really good advice to me. The simple or the good life, as it's sometimes called. Most people say that they like the idea of ending up in heaven. No one seriously wants to end up anywhere else, to my knowledge, but that's why it's important to start preparing now, while we still have the opportunity. So how do we prepare? Yes, we need Jesus. Yes, we need to confess our sins and accept him as Lord and Saviour and have nothing, no other hope but him, to have faith in him. But what else can we do? Ephesians 4:31 to 32. Here's some things we need to get rid of. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. There are some things, maybe even relationships, that we need to get rid of that are actually more important than out-of-date paperwork. Bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, every form of malice. Is there any of that in your life? Are you struggling with any of those things? Unforgiveness is a classic reason for someone being bitter and becoming angry with someone. And as I sifted through my documents, I could actually feel the anger trying to come back, trying to get back in. It wanted to return, to find a home. It wanted part of me to see justice carried out. This isn't over yet, mate. That kind of thing. But now, 20 years later, I have a better reaction, a better hope. And it's from Romans 12, 19 to 21. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. And in doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Now, it's not easy to take this decision, but if you can, it's better for your health. It's better for your peace of mind. And one thing is for certain, God can deal with it much better than any of us. And certainly better than a human court even. And what's more, if that person ever becomes a Christian, the one you want retribution against, then how will you feel about your non-Christian attitude towards him or her as you look back in time? These people that we want retribution have got equal access to the Lord as we did and have. Is that something you need to throw out of your life? Is that something that you need to lose? Unforgiveness. Something that ought to belong to the old you, that shouldn't really belong to the born again version. Now, the problem with storing up stuff year after year is that you eventually run out of space to store it. My office became so full in certain areas that lots of things ended up just lying around on top of other things. Not only untidy, but also very inefficient, as I started losing sight of things and forgetting what I was supposed to be doing. Losing track of what I'm supposed to be doing. You can have a life like that. Your whole life could be like that. You've forgotten what you're supposed to be doing in life. I have recently seen a very effective illustration to show how we can crowd out the things of God in our lives by having things in the wrong order. And this was the illustration that I saw, and it was really clever. This man had a glass tumbler, and he started putting golf balls in it. So it filled up with golf balls until he couldn't get another one in. Okay? There was a limit to how many golf balls he could fit into the glass, and most people agreed when he showed it to them that the glass was full. Now, the glass represented his life, and the golf balls represented the important things in life, like God, family, work, church, things like that, the important things. So it looked like his life was full of important things. And then he decided to see how many small ball bearings or marbles would fit in around the golf balls. So he started to pour them in, and they all jangled around and found, he shook it a bit and they all jangled in. And then there came a point where he couldn't get any more marbles in. These smaller things represented less important things in life, like, well, watching TV or playing video games in your bedroom or watching sport. Quite a few small marbles would fit in around the most important things, which represented by the golf balls. So now he had golf balls and he had little marbles. And it looked full. His life was full of stuff. So what happens when he starts to pour rice in? Yes, that's right, the rice, which represents even less important things, easily fitted into his life around the other more important things. And then, of course, he tried to fit in sand, and then, finally, water. So the glass was completely full. Jam-packed full of stuff, his life. Some of it very important, represented by the golf balls, but everything else was less important, to the point where some things were not important at all. And a lot of it would have been just wasting time. And the point of the illustration? Have you twigged it yet? Now, the point of the illustration is this. If you put the ingredients in the wrong order, the golf balls won't go in. You put the less important things in first, you will not get as many golf balls in that glass, which represents your life. So if you get things in the wrong order, some things that are really important will get missed out. There'll be no room for the golf balls. Get them in the right order, and you can fit less important things in around it. Get it in the wrong order, and some things that are valuable and important will get missed out. And this is my chosen scripture to complement that illustration. It's from Luke 12, 15 to 21. Jesus said to them, "Watch out. Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man produced a crop. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." And then he said, "This is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and I'll build bigger ones. And there I will store up my grain and my goods. And I'll say to myself, well, you've got plenty of good things laid up for many years. Now take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry." But God said to him, "You fool. This very night your life will be demanded from you. And then, who will get what you have prepared for yourself?" This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself, but is not rich towards God. Could that be somebody who hasn't got enough golf balls in his glass? There are lots of things in our lives that take up our time. None of us know how much time we have left on this earth, but something is definite, and that is your time is finite. Therefore, ask yourself today, is there anything at all that you have in your life, whether it be things or relationships or unforgiveness, that would be better off not in there at all? Is there anything that God, via his Holy Spirit, is telling you today, get rid of it? Get rid of it. Is there anything you need to lose? Anything other than or in addition to a few pounds of fat? Is there anything that doesn't fit into your glass that would fit into it if it had been put in from the beginning of your faith walk, when you were born again, when you made those commitments? If you'd have put those golf balls in your glass at that time, would there be more of them than there are today? Maybe, for instance, spending more time in prayer, maybe more time reading the Bible, studying the Bible, maybe more time blessing other people, thinking about other people, get your eyes and your heart off yourself, spend time with people who are needy, who need a help. Would that offer situations where you could share the gospel with them? Whatever you are placing those things with, will they, in fact, produce the right kind of fruit in your life? The things that are in your life, the smaller things, the smaller balls, the rice, the sand, will they produce the results, or any results, that you will be proud of? Is it too late for you to lose something that will actually end up blessing you, or blessing others, or bringing you peace, or putting a smile on the Lord's face? Is there anything? Is it too late? It's never too late. Get rid of something and replace it with something else. I'll finish with Mark 8, 35 to 38. Jesus speaking, saying that for whoever wants to save his life, he will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world and yet forfeit his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? So if anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, and if it was bad then, it is bad now, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels. If you're going to lose your life, best make sure it's for Jesus. So the final question, do you need to lose anything? Do you need to lose something? Father, I preach to myself as well as anybody with an open heart. And I realize that none of us has arrived at that point of perfection. Even Paul said that he doesn't even judge himself. He lets you do that. Father, we have to keep looking forward. I pray that this message is helpful. Because, Lord, it would be a shame to go through life looking back with regret about the things that we could have done if only we'd made the time. Lord, help us to order our lives correctly with your help. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.